Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. At this time, we would like to welcome you to the Extrapar conference call to discuss results for the first quarter 2020. With us today, we have Mr. André Iasi, the Extrapar CEO, Emilio Sánchez, CFO and IR Officer, and Daniel Soragui, the Planning and IR Manager. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company presentation. Ensuing this, we will go on to the question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant require assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously through internet via webcast and can be accessed at the address ri.estapar.com.br, where the respective presentation is also available. You can flip through the slides at your convenience. The replay of this event will be available soon after its closing. We would like to remind the webcast participants that they can post their questions via website, and they will be responded at the end of the conference. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that forward-looking statements made during this conference call referring to the Extrapar business outlooks, projections, operational and financial goals are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the company management, as well as on information currently available to Extrapar. These forward-looking statements are no warranty of performance as they involve risks, uncertainties, and premises. They refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that general conditions, sector conditions, and other operational factors could affect the future results of Extrapar and lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. We would now like to turn the floor over to Mr. André Iasi, the CEO, who will begin the presentation. You have the floor, sir. A good morning to all of you. It is a pleasure to speak to you. My name is André Iasi, the CEO of Extrapar, and we're going to begin with part of our agenda on page number 4, where we speak about the COVID-19 initiatives put in place by the company. On page number 5, the actions adopted in the month of March were geared towards quickly responding to the pandemic that had reached Brazil. We implemented our war room on March 10th so as to adopt the tactical and strategic measures of what we had to do in the company to face the pandemic. The initial measures adopted were sanitary measures in accordance with health authority guidelines, social distancing, sanitization of premises, measuring body temperature, distancing high-risk groups, suspension of business travel, and the distribution of kits with masks and hand sanitizers, among others. We also intensified communication and medical guidance for all of our employees. We adopted work from home for the administrative staff and part of the operating staff. We began initiatives to reduce costs and expenses and preserve cash. On page number 6, in terms of preservation for the month of April, the company had full or partial closure of 56.8% of all of our off-street operations and 78.3% of the on-street operations. In April, the Executive Decree 936 was edited with a reduction of working hours and suspension of employment contracts. This was important for us to preserve jobs by reducing working hours and salaries. And we began with a board of executive officers and the administrative staff. Executive Decree 927, also issued in April, allowed for the extension of the date for the payment of social charges. And we preserved cash. We took a credit line of $29.2 million to have a more comfortable cash position. In April, through the effort of our war room teams, we were able to reduce and negotiate rental expenses and operating costs with a savings of 78.8% vis-a-vis April 2019. The reduction of operational labor costs gave us a savings of 42.2%, once again compared with April of 2019. Reduction of SG&A with a savings of 30.6% vis-a-vis April 2019. We postponed and temporarily suspended our CAPEX investments, once again to preserve our cash. We go on to page number 7. In May, we continue on with this strategy to safeguard the company. We had full or partial closure of 46.9% of the off-street operations and 63.1% of the on-street operations. In May, we held a company IPO with a capitalization of approximately 290 million reais. In May, we continued on with a strategy to reduce and renegotiate expenses. Rental expenses and operating costs gave us a savings of 73.4% compared with May 2019. Reduction of operational labor costs with a savings of 44.9% vis-a-vis May 2019, and a reduction of SG&A with a savings of 31.1%, once again, vis-a-vis May 2019. On page number 8, referring to June, we continue monitoring all the measures implemented. And at present, we have full or partial closure of 32.8% of off-street operations and a complete resumption of our on-street operations in all the municipalities where we operate. In April, you can see that this was the worst in terms of revenue since the beginning of COVID. We had a drop of 83.3% in May compared to April. We had an improvement, especially in the short stay parking, now on street with 93% improvement due to the resumption of operation in some buildings. In June, we see an expressive improvement in almost all line items, especially for on street with a total resumption of operations and monthly parking customers with 41.2%. We go on to page number 9 to speak about the highlights during the period. On page number 10, I would like to draw your attention to the signature on May 19th of a concession contract for areas in city of Sao Paulo where the use of proceeds was geared to this concession. We already have begun a transition group made up by members from the City Hall and Estapar, and in the coming months are going to follow the guidance of the call notice to do the transition of this operation from the public power to our company. I also highlight that we won a public bid for the concession of 10 years for the street parking pay and display in Santo André. For many years, Estapar had already worked there. A new bid was held. We were the winners, and this points to our ability to maintain our operations. In May, there was the inauguration of Parque Shopping Bahia, a very large parking operation with 2,800 parking spaces, a 15-year contract. We had already allocated resources here during 2019, and now this will begin to generate revenue in the coming months. I also highlight, as part of our initiatives, the Urban Mobility Hub. Throughout the COVID months, we celebrated several agreements with the main rent-a-car companies in Brazil, offering parking, store, and service spaces. We expanded from 3 to 10 loops, park, and sell stores, which is something we have with Web Motors. And here we foster the parking of vehicles that subsequently will be auctioned through our tools. And through Volkswagen, our smart parking app, which is native to the infotainment system for the Volkswagen Nivus car. This launch was streamlined live a few weeks ago. And we believe that through time, we will focus on connectivity, which is so important in the present day world. In page number 11, we speak about our investments. In the biennial 2018-2019, we made investments of 320 million in a diversity of projects, long-term projects and parking projects. The duration of EBITDA is of 17.5 years for this. In 2020 and 2021, in the 6 months of 2020, the company has already committed 626 million reais with a duration of matured EBITDA of 15 years. Once again, showing our capacity to allocate capital with excellent returns. A good day to all of you. I am Emilio Sanchez, the CFO for Estapar. We will now speak about the results for the first quarter 20. On page 13, we had 665 operations, totaling 300 and some spaces, a growth of 9% vis-a-vis the first quarter 2019. The growth was of more than 6,000 parking space with São Bernardo and Taubaté as new cities. We had a growth of 15,000 parking spots in the long term, especially for the Bahia shopping mall. Our revenues are in part of the main assets of the sector: airports, commercial buildings, on-street retail. We're present in 57 cities in premium locations. The state of São Paulo represents 57% and Rio de Janeiro 18% of our revenues. And we have a proportional growth in all states during this quarter. On page 14, we would like to highlight the net revenue for the first months of the year. In February, we had a growth of 8.6% vis-a-vis the same period in 2019, with a net revenue of almost 179 million, a strong growth of leased and managed locations of 11%, and a highlight for off-street and on-street concessions with a growth of over 20%. Now, the parking of the airport was strengthening our position. And once again, we have the on-street concessions of Taubaté and São Bernardo do Campo. On page 15, with the impact of COVID, our net revenue was minus 3.4% vis-a-vis the same period in 2019, totaling 243 million, with a great impact on the on-street operations. Hospitals, commercial buildings had a marginal impact. On page 16, our cash gross profit because of COVID had a reduction of 14.2% vis-a-vis the same period in 2019, totaling 42 million reais. And We had a commercial impact that occurred at the end of 2018, impacting the first quarter of 2019. We adopted several actions during the month of March to mitigate the effect of this pandemic and to increase our cash gross profit. On page 17, we have a breakdown of our costs. Our costs are divided in occupational costs, mainly labor costs, lease, and other costs. For example, third-party services and telecommunication. 53% of our costs refer to occupational costs. 72.8% of the total amount refer to variable leases pegged directly to our revenues. When our revenue drops, the lease costs also drop. To the right, we show you our cash gross profit by sector in the first quarter 20. Airports represented 34% of our cash gross profit, commercial buildings 22%, healthcare, hospitals 14%, shopping malls 7%, and on-street concessions 4%. 71.9% of the cash gross profit of airports has a guaranteed minimum result for Estapar through a contractual protection. And in the future, this allows us to reduce our transfers to leases or to existing contracts. On page 18, we show you our EBITDA, funds from operations. Our results were impacted negatively by the recession imposed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Adjusted EBITDA had a reduction of 28.4% vis-a-vis the same period, totaling 22 million reais with 9% margin. Adjusted FFO with a reduction of 39.8%, totaling 12 million reais and a 4.9% margin compared to net revenues. Our net loss stood at 25.5 million. Now, our actions to reduce costs and expenses will only begin to appear in the next quarter. Our net debt at the end of the quarter stood at 406.8 million reais, a leverage of 2.5 times EBITDA in the last 12 months. It is important to highlight that in April, we took on a loan of 29.2 million reais for a one-year term to reinforce our cash, and we had the IPO in May, raising 290 million reais. With these contributions, we believe we will go through this pandemic calmly and comply with our obligations this year. On page 20, we speak about our final cash flow. We began the year with 120 million reais. We had a positive cash generation of 9.2 million. The operational cash in the first quarter is always impacted because of the lease transfers due to the high seasonality of profit in December 2019. We also began to feel the effect of COVID on the second fortnight of March. We had anticipated or prepaid expenses of 5.5 million that will be deferred during 2020. We also maintained our investment planning with a capex of 31.2 million reais, maintaining our discipline in allocating capital. We had an increase of 1.7 million in net loans and financing and 4.9 million for payment of interest with 89.4 million reais. On page 21, we will speak about social responsibility and sustainability. On page 22, social responsibility, we speak about Estacionamiento Solidario, charity parking, an initiative that has 15 years and Part of our revenues from Zona Azul is allocated to charitable institutions and social initiatives. The program has contributed with more than 30 charitable institutions in 15 municipalities in the last 5 years. And during COVID, Estapar granted free parking spaces to physicians in the city of Sao Paulo as a request of the Health Secretariat. On page 23, we highlight sustainability. Estapar at present has currently 50 charging stations for electric and hybrid vehicles of several brands, and very soon new charging points will be installed. Reduction of carbon emissions. Estapar contributes to the reduction of carbon emissions by removing from circulation vehicles that are looking for parking spaces. 30% of the vehicles, of course, are looking for parking spaces. We have on-street solar-powered self-service charging stations, and we offer spaces for bikes and electrical scooter racks in several of our operations. We go on to page 25, closing remarks. Estapar will continue to focus on safety and comfort for our clients and employees, continuing on with the sanitary protocols recommended by competent authorities. In the post-COVID-19, there will be an upward trend in individual transportation. We will focus on a disciplined resource management, and our unique asset portfolio will enable us good leverage in the resumption of economy. And our urban mobility hub concept will allow us to capture new revenue opportunities. With this, I would like to thank all of you for your attention. And we will now offer you the floor for questions and answers. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now go on to the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your question from the queue, press star 2. Our first question comes from Bruna Mendoza from Santander Bank. You may proceed, Bruna. Oh, it's Emilio. Good morning, and thank you for the call. Welcome to this dynamic of results. I would like to pose two questions. The first, Emilio remarked on the renegotiation and rebalancing of contracts. If you could speak a bit more about this dynamic, how you work with the negotiation, which are the indicators of reference. You spoke about gross margin, but this must vary from one segment to the other. And which is the goal of the renegotiation, and which are the subsegments of Estapar that have this clause in their contract, if it is only public service concessions or do private services also include this? This is the first question. Thank you. Bruno, this is André. And Emilio is here with me, as well as Danielle. It is a pleasure to speak to you again. When we speak about payment of leases, 78% of our leases are variable, and they're based on our revenue, as we showed you here. If there's a drop in revenue, we pay a proportional amount of lease. The public contracts, the Zona Azul operation and others, always require a rebalancing in this type of situation if we have claims or anything else. There are contractual clauses, and this rebalancing is part of the legislation. In other contracts that do not have a lease, they have a minimum guaranteed lease that we're under the obligation of paying. In most cases, we have been very successful in rebalancing the contract, paying a lease that is proportional to the results or revenue. And in some segments yet, such as airports, for example, 72% of our contracts are protected by what we call a guaranteed minimum, in such a way that if you do not attain that minimum, if esta par does not attain a minimum result during a month or a specific period, in subsequent months, the leases paid will be lower, or there is a possibility of lengthening the contract, giving the company significant protection. Very good. My second question, if you wish, thinking about the resumption that should take place sometime, have you observed any potential opportunities from this crisis? I know that we have to preserve cash. This is a priority. Investments have been reduced. But at some point in time, when we have better visibility, and as Estapar has access to the capital markets, will there be an opportunity to renegotiate contracts or offer advances, and will this generate an interesting opportunity for Estapar to improve its existing contracts or lengthen them? Thank you, Bruno. Once again, thank you for the question. The answer is yes. Estapar is in a very special moment in the market, and this gives us access to not only equity, but a lower cost debt structure. We do foresee opportunities going forward in mergers and acquisitions. We do this when things are very strategic, when we see the opportunity. And we have seen several opportunities appearing when it comes to long-term contracts. In our own operations, our lease or management operations, converting everything into long-term operations through the allocation of resources, because some companies have less liquidity in the market. This doesn't mean that that company and the pole that generates traffic is not good. And all of this could happen post-COVID. The answer very clearly is yes, we foresee several opportunities going forward, and our capital structure as a listed company will enable us to capture these opportunities in the coming quarters or months. Thank you. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Andre Mazzini from Citibank. You may proceed, Mr. Mazzini. Hello, this is Andre, Emilio Andre. Thank you for the call. A question on the last mile. You have several initiatives regarding this. I would like to understand how Estapar is operating in storage, in transportation, or an integration of both of these. Of course, you have had a certain time due to COVID, but all of this will accelerate in the future or in the medium term. My other question refers to the charging of electrical vehicles, and this receives a subsidy of some assembly plants, I believe. If we look at some countries that are more advanced than Brazil, how is this monetized abroad? Is it the parking company or the fuel distributors? Once again, how is this monetized in countries that have electrical cars? This could be the case of Brazil in the future. Thank you. Thank you, André, for the question. It's a pleasure to speak with you. First of all, we, some years ago, created the Urban Mobility Hub, and Estapar is positioned in the main Brazilian cities, in the main neighborhoods, and in the main blocks where people not only live but also work, where we have considerable traffic. Now, these sites, the infrastructure that we have placed there will have to be used to its utmost to make our infrastructure more profitable and to generate services for the new entrants. We do have initiatives with logistics players. We have post-docking and the last mile operation through our own operations. We're still discussing new possibilities. They still have not materialized, but we do believe there is an opportunity in this sector. We have operations with the charging of electrical scooters and the distribution done by suppliers of these players. We're creating an infrastructure so that this group can be very close to the consumer markets. This is our concept, and we do have several initiatives on that front. I believe that as things progress with these new trends, Estapar will be very well positioned, not only because of its capillarity and infrastructure, but also because of the recurrent use that we have. We do have opportunities here. Referring your second question about electric vehicles, Brazil is still a minor market when it comes to electric vehicles, but this dynamic is changing. There's the 2030 fleet that the federal government published 2 years ago. True and real incentives for the development of electric cars in Brazil. And these incentives relate to fiscal issues, reducing the cost for the acquisition of vehicles, reducing any taxes that you pay for owning a vehicle. And there is a growth trend in that sector in Brazil. Initially, our main clients will be B2B, as you mentioned. It is our understanding that assembly plants have to have an installed park to offer their consumers the security that they will be able to charge their vehicles in public sites, in shopping mall parkings, airports, and hospitals, among others. And after this, when we have a mass of clients for electrical vehicles in Brazil, we imagine that the end consumer will be the one using this service and paying us for it. Now, outside of Brazil, the trend was very similar. The first wave was the OEMs financing this park, and subsequently the end consumers paying those that are supplying this service. Very good. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Our next question comes from Victor Tapia from Bradesco Bank. You may proceed, sir. A good day to all of you. Unfortunately, I did not arrive to the call in time. So if I ask a question you have already answered, please forgive me. My first question refers to the operation of the public concession of Santo André. If you could give us more details, more color, in terms of the parameters, what will be paid as grant, and which are the variables? Is this based on the same parameters as a concession of Zona Azul in São Paulo? This is my first question. Secondly, when we look at your presentation, 20% of net revenues for the first quarter from the sector, referring to commercial buildings. I would like to gain an understanding of your vision, what it is that you see because of all these potential changes that will take place because of the increase in home office, an increase of demand for parking in this segment, perhaps. I would like to understand your viewpoint on this better, if possible. Thank you, Mr. Tapia, for the questions. And let's try to address the one on Santo André. Estapar has been operating in Santo André for almost 10 years. We have a great deal of information. This is a large city right next to Sao Paulo. Our contract was ending and the city hall held a new bid according to the rules, and we were able to come out as winners. This is an investment of approximately 14 million for the grant and 4 to 6 million reais of investments in CAPEX that we have to do in the city. The level of return is in accordance with what we work, an adequate return. And this outlook of return is very good for the company for a 10-year term. This shows our ability to maintain the contracts that we have even when they are due. And this is something that I wanted to underscore. When it comes to commercial buildings, it's interesting when we look at the outlook for a drop of retail parking pass card holders. Our revenue is the one that had the least drop. When we look at the drop of April 20 vis-a-vis April 2019, and April was the worst month that we have, the drop was 48.6%. Proportionally to the rest, this segment is quite resilient. We had a minor drop in May, but a recovery in June. So commercial buildings is very important in terms of that retail parking. And the sector was very resilient, despite all this discussion of home office. We are convinced, and we have reviewed these figures in several studies, preliminary studies in Brazil, that people no longer want to share their urban transportation with other people, buses, apps, or whatever. So those who have the option of using their own vehicles or perhaps acquiring a vehicle, and there's a growing interest in the acquisition of vehicles, this is precisely because people do not want to have to use public transportation. I believe that this will become a trend. It is one of our expectations in the third quarter going forward. It is a global trend. And secondly, by listening to the specialists, some of our clients or others who speak about the occupation of commercial buildings, we already perceive a movement towards greater occupation. Home offices may move for one sector or another. This does not hold for the entire society as a whole, and there will be more room in commercial buildings to reduce the occupational density. And this is what we have observed in the profit companies. They have all spoken about this. Now, this set of factors of people preferring individual transportation, a less dense occupation in commercial buildings, among others. Well, this is one of the sectors that will have the best recovery, and it is the one that is suffering less from the viewpoint of parking. I'm not speaking about corporations or property or other issues in this case. Simply a follow-up in the first question, the Santo André operation, how many parking spaces as total number? I don't recall, but I believe it's 5,000 parking spaces, approximately 5,000 parking spaces. Yeah, simply to have an order of magnitude. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Raul from Levin Financial. You may proceed, Raul. Hey, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. I would like to better understand your CAPEX. your maintenance and expansion CapEx for maintenance of Zona Azul in São Paulo. You spoke about reducing or containing your CapEx, but you will have to make investments to be able to effectively operate the Zona Azul in São Paulo. Which is your schedule for this, and when you are going to truly begin this? If you could give us an update. Raul, once again, this is André. Thank you for the question. And I have Emilio and Daniel here to help me with these technical issues as well. The Zona Azul in São Paulo, we just signed the contract as mentioned, and we began the transition process as part of the call notice, work between City Hall and ourselves, a concessionaire. And we have to carry out several activities to carry out this transition so that technologically it will be as smooth as possible. The forecast is for this process to extend for 8 months, perhaps somewhat less. The expectation is that the definite transition from the City Hall to us will take place until the end of the year. Now, the CapEx represents 595 million reais of investment for the grant and a CapEx of 12 million reais for technological adaptations and development. And a physical CapEx is painting the parking space and vertical and horizontal plates that will have to be produced, and the supervision of vehicles. This is the timeline. Now, the maintenance CapEx is very low in the Zona Azul operation. You have to continue what you call the vertical and horizontal communication, painting out the parking space, and of course, ensuring that you have technological updates. It doesn't represent 1% of our revenues, perhaps less than that per year. So the CapEx is quite low in this case. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Our next question comes from Pedro Zamiolo. You may proceed. A good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. The first regarding the concession in São Paulo. I would like to know if you're adopting any measures to for the acquisition and for the judicial or legal measure that is underway. Secondly, if there will be a follow-on for the IPO the coming year. Thank you for the question, Pedro. We do not imagine anything negative, and we truly cannot imagine that the Zona Azul of São Paulo will have a more severe impact on our projections and revenues. We take on the operation, and our expectation is to conclude everything in the fourth quarter of each year, where we will have a lower impact. On page 8 of our presentation, we show you that Zona Azul is the one that has recovered faster compared to the pre-COVID period. It is always the first choice for parking for a user. It is more available, and it's the one with the lowest cost compared with off-street parking. So this is a reality. It has recovered faster than other business lines, as expected. Because of this, we do not expect a greater impact on our economic model for Zona Azul in São Paulo. Your second question, the follow-on for the IPO. At this point in time, there has been no definition for a follow-on. As we told you formerly, we have a very long pipeline. Several business opportunities are appearing. More, of course, will appear. And we believe that there will be new opportunities. If necessary and at the right time, we may consider a follow-on as an alternative. But for the time being, nothing has been defined. Very good. Thank you. We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please press star one or send your message through the webcast. We have a question through the webcast from Caio de Lima from Rich Capital. A good day to all of you. Thank you for the presentation. I would like to know which are the growth opportunities that you are considering once the situation normalizes. And do you believe that the segments of your present-day operations still have the possibility for relevant growth? Excellent question, Khalil. Structurally, it is our understanding that the business of parking in Brazil will become ever more relevant. Pre-COVID, we had an enormous bottleneck in terms of mass transportation. And this is what will give thrust to the growth of the car fleet in Brazil. And we have one of the six largest car fleets in the world. What do we believe that unfortunately will happen after COVID? This infrastructure bottleneck will increase because the union, states, and municipalities are facing financial problems and they will be left without resources for urban mobility, especially for tracks, subways, and trains. The bottleneck, unfortunately, in the coming years should increase because of what is happening at present. There will be greater pressure on infrastructure, greater pressure on the growth of fleets and parking, especially in locations where Estapar is strategically located, where we have higher traffic flows, airports, hospitals, supermarkets, arenas, will lead to a greater demand. Now, I responded to a question about the last mile logistics. I think there is a trend to increase this type of activity when we speak about logistics. We are well positioned to capture these opportunities. When I look at this from the viewpoint of macro drivers, my understanding is that our position post-COVID, unfortunately, because of COVID, will allow us to come out better than before. We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please press star one or send your question through the webcast. Once again, should you wish to pose a question, please press star one or send your question through the webcast. As we have no further questions at this point, we would like to end the question and answer session. I will return the floor to Mr. Andre Yassi for his closing remarks. Mr. Yassi, you may proceed. I would like to thank all of you for your participation today, for your excellent questions from so many participants, analysts, and investors in the Brazilian market. I don't want to be repetitive. We do have a scenario going forward where from the macro viewpoint, Estapar is very well positioned. We will continue to focus on health care, safeguarding our cash, and in the great opportunities that will appear in the future. Once again, thank you very much. Have a good day. And I would like to thank Emilio and the other people that are here with me. The Estapar conference call ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your participation. Have a good day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.